The only way you grow in Christ is when something comes up against you to stop you from growing in Christ. And you learn to overcome it. Amen? Amen? If everybody around you, and you surround yourself with everybody who says how wonderful you are, how good you are, and how much we love you and care about you and all that, but never get to point out there's things in each and every one of us that need to be dealt with. Amen? Needs to be. In order to be the best servant we can be for the Master, those things that hinder us from serving Him have to be removed. Amen? And every one of us, now we have to agree, every one of us has something in there. And most of us, if not all of us, have more than one thing. Because I have found as God deals with those issues of my life that I don't want to deal with, He then has something in there. I think, gee, I got through it. I'm done. I'm ready now. And then something else pops up. I have watched God deal with things in my life, with alcohol, drugs, all that stuff, and still not finish with me. I'm still working. He's still working things on me. And I thought things I thought I dealt with, they're still there. And by the grace of God. And I've learned that sanctification, which means being prepared for the use. Look, when God had them build these items for inside the temple for the use of the priest, it ended up after they created them, they covered them with gold. That's what God wants for you. You're like one of the instruments. In the end, He's going to cover you with gold. Listen, the gold was the finished. It's finished. The gold might be when the rapture happens. The gold might be when you leave this earth and enter. I don't know. It may even be down here, but I'm going to guarantee you this. You'll never be fully golden down here. It's a process of sanctification the whole life long. It's going to take your whole life. And by the way, it'll take past your life. Once you enter into those gates up there and you walk those golden streets up there and you see the jewels that are encrusted on the gates and you walk in and see the mansion that God has already built for you, you say, yeah, it was all worth it. It was all worth it. At the moment, it doesn't feel like that. At the moment, we want to think we're all right. Hey, I'm not that bad a person. I'm a pretty good guy. In our own eyes, we are. Amen? In our own eyes, we are. In my own mind, I'm still 16 years old. I'm serious. I went yesterday. I thought today would be good enough. I was going to barbecue outside. I don't know. May have to have somebody hold an umbrella. But anyways, I went to get gas for my barbecue thing yesterday. Man, eyes opened wide all of a sudden. I go up and the young guy's going to fill my tank. So I take the tank out of the car and I put it down the ground and I'm going to turn it and open it up. I'm sitting there going, I take a wrench out. I'm going, trying to get that thing open. I said, oh, must be I got to need a new tank. This young kid walks up. I said, what's wrong? I said, I can't get it open. He goes, okay. I said, wait a minute. Yeah, we like to think so, but that's the way we would look at it. And I said, it's tough to look at yourself, get a little bit older, and not as strong as you used to be. It is. When you realize you're not going to do all that you thought you could do. In your own mind, you're all right. It's the same thing. That's why the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. It lights the very inward parts of our life. So God sees and knows what's in the deepest part of our heart, and He brings it out, not to condemn us, not to judge us, not to control us. But He said, look, if I have a car and I'm driving a car and it's not running right, I want to know what's wrong with it. And guess what? I have no clue. I don't know what a car, when you open the hood, I know what the engine is, that's about it. I can't tell you why that thing isn't running the way it should. But there are people who know. And they'll get inside under the hood and they'll search it out and they'll do whatever they got to do if it's put it on a computer, whatever it is. They'll realize what it is. They'll find out what it is. Until we know what's wrong, nothing can be fixed. In Haggai, well, hallelujah. I'm doing this because I'm doing it. I got a testimony I want to bring to you. And I got to keep it quiet till the end, I think. I wanted to start with it. And then I said, oh, I got, boy, thank you, Jesus. Shut up. Let's keep going here. You have, look at this. This is Haggai. Well, verse 2 in chapter 1, he says this. Thus speaks the Lord of hosts. Who's speaking? God. This people says the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. In other words, I'm too busy to take care of this stuff right now. I got other things in my life I got to deal with. I am not going to spend time building a house on the rock. Especially a house I can't see. The thing about this house, you won't see until it's finished. You understand? It's called building by faith. Amen. Calling those things that aren't as though they be. You know what your life, you want it like. You know what you want that life to look like. You want it to be prosperous. You want it to be healthy. You want to be filled with joy. You want to have just a good old time. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's God's plan for your life, by the way. There's nothing wrong with that. But we can't do it our own way. Because if you could, most of us here are more than 10 years old. How have you been doing so far? Amen? You're thinking to yourself, well, my life isn't so bad. Compare it to the life God has for you? Yes, it is. In your own eyes, it looks good. But what God had planned for you, and you never, ever enter into it, you'll never know how good you could have had it. Because every time the person of God enters into that good life, it's like a pebble thrown into a lake, a clear lake that's smooth, and waves go out from where that pebble hit. That's your life. When that godly life is operating in us, it affects others around us. Your family, your friends, your neighbors, co-workers. See, this is not just about us.
Right.
Amen? It wasn't. Because somebody else, before you got saved, there was a pebble thrown and that wave hit you.
Yeah, amen.
And brought you into that life.
Amen.
Now, as your life is perfected, and I'm talking about a glorious, joyful, filled with love, filled with compassion, filled with mercy, filled with grace. You just exude this stuff. This stuff just flows out of you like a river of living water. And wherever it touches, it brings life. This isn't just about you. Not just about me. Oh, no. If it is, that's called selfishness. If you're content where you are, and you think you got it all together, and you see your brother and sister around you hurting, and you're not bothered by that?
Amen.
There's the first idea in you that needs something needs to be changed.
Amen.
Something has to happen. We can't be content with just us. If it was, then Jesus never would have came to earth. The Father would never have allowed His Son to be sacrificed on the cross, even for those who will never receive Him. Your life may not touch everybody. It may not bring life to everybody. But there are those that God ordained for you to be ministers to the gospel to. And not just in word, but in deed. And if you never fulfill that purpose, how will you look at the one who sacrificed on the cross? Who took all the beatings, all the suffering, all the kill, be killed, and how will you look Him in the face and say, well, Lord, I live for me. It was all about me. I was happy. I was content. I could do what I wanted to do. It was their fault. They didn't know. That's why He sent you to Him, to tell Him. You didn't do that. You lived for you. And I'll get into I got you in a minute here. My definition of sin, I used to give this out a long time ago. God gave this to me. It's called self-indulgence now. It's all about me. Diane makes jokes about that, and I joke with her, and I, what about me? I always go, what about me? But the basis of sin, of all sin, isn't the devil. The devil's been defeated. You've been born again. You've been born again. You are a new creation in Christ. But if all it is about us, then we are walking around and missing the greatest gift and the greatest opportunity that mankind ever had. And that is to be like Jesus. It isn't a religious activity. This isn't for Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights if you come out. It isn't. It's about when you stand before the Master as his servant and you say, Lord, I live my life for you. He said, if you live your life for me, you would have lived your life for the body. Look around you. Here it is. For us, this is our body. Some are missing today, but this is our body. When you've done it unto the least to these, my brethren, he said, you've done it unto me. Hallelujah. Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, the people says, the time has not come, this time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Remember, you are, this body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's what he's talking about here. There he was talking about a physical temple. Here he's talking about you. That temple is the heart of man where Christ, as the high priest, dwells. Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Consider your ways. Consider your life. That's what we're to do. That's what we're to do. Nobody's here to point out to you your failings and your faults and your... Although the Bible does tell us, if you see your brother in sin, to go to them and tell them. Sometimes we do that and people go, who do you think you are? I have found if I do that, most times they leave. It's easier to walk away from truth than to submit to the truth. He said you have so much. So what we're saying now is, he is saying you haven't spent enough time preparing this temple for its purpose, which is to worship and serve your God. First of all, after that, to take care of your families. And after that, to be a witness. But you'll be a natural witness. Your life will be a witness. When everybody around you is complaining about your work and your bosses and all that, and you're sitting there and you're not saying a word, they'll say, what's wrong with you? Said, I pray for them every day. I can't complain about them. Amen. Amen? Because you're not like them. You're in this world, but not of this world. That's not who you are. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. Old things become new. You are being created and restructured into the image of Christ. Amen? Read what Jesus was like. That's how God is trying to get you to be like. And me, by the way. When I say you, I include me. I'm part of you. All right? It's easier that way because people say, well, you're just a pastor. You keep saying you. No, I mean me too. Me first, then you, if you want. All right? That's what God's doing. If we're not being created in his image, you will see the outside life will be just like he's talking about here. Remember what I told you. When you get connected and stay connected to God, he will start bringing everything into order. God wants your life in order. He doesn't like chaos. He dealt with that at the beginning. He doesn't want your life to be chaotic. He doesn't want your life constantly being in turmoil and fear and want. He always tried to produce everything they needed for a good and a godly life. God doesn't like it when you're not seeing the fulfillment of his promises in your life. You will see, if we don't deal with the hidden sins that are hidden in deep within the heart, those things that are hidden, it will reflect outwardly. You understand that? The unbeliever, you see him out there. You listen to him out there. You look at him. You'll see exactly what I'm talking about. There's such a division in this world between light and darkness, and it's getting greater and greater and greater because the light isn't being the light. The light always pushes against the darkness. But what's happening is the light is trying to push against the darkness the same way the darkness is pushing against the light. We're using their tactics, and it doesn't work. Our weapons are not carnal, that they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We are fighting a spiritual warfare here. And you can only do it with the spiritual weapons given to us by God. If we try any other way, we will fail. And God, when he's... I still want to get to that touch. I got a good one. When I was in the service, I've told you this before, they had to tear us down and restructure us to act and think and talk all alike. When we went in, the first day, they set us in a barber chair and all the hair went. That was it. You were bald. And everybody was bald. Not some kept a little here and a little there, take a little off over here. No, why? Because they wanted them all to look alike. The same uniform, the same weapons, the same barracks, the same sheets, the same blankets, the same pillows, the same overcoats, everything. We looked and acted and walked, and we had to train every day to learn how to walk in unity. It's called marching. The proudest day of our lives, it was for me, when we got done in a marching exercise, and we all did it together. Nobody made a mistake. Once you start learning that that happens, now you can trust the person next to you with your very life. And they had to, many of them. That's what God is trying to get us to. Not that you're going to get your hair all cut off. Come on now. We're not talking about outward appearances. Amen. Don't get there. But inwardly, if you see me, you see Jesus. If you hear me, you hear Jesus. You understand? When you come to pray and you need somebody to pray with you, you can trust that I can be there with you. And I will be with you until the end. Until we see the fulfillment of God's word. Hallelujah. This has nothing to do with the message I have. Good. He said, you have sown much and bring in little. You eat but do not have enough. You drink but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. I went through all those things. I'm not going to go through them now. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. If you see the promises of God, you know it's true what he said, and you're not seeing it come to pass, maybe we need to dig a little deeper and consider our ways. It doesn't mean you naturally walk around sinning against God and doing all this stuff, but what it does mean, you're doing your own thing without even considering God's ways. Not even considering his ways. And the result is, what we've sown, we're reaping. chaos, turmoil, arguing, fighting, no peace, no joy, always demanding your own way, always fighting to get what you want, not willing to give an inch, not willing to submit to those, oh, wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. You love them the way you want to love them. Jesus said, love them by the same way he loved the church and gave himself for it. Husbands, if you're not giving your life to your wife, you are in sin. Wives, if you're not submitting to your husbands, you're in sin. And it's reflected by your marriage. Boy, how did that one come out? My wife is my equal, not my subordinate. Amen. You understand? But if a decision needs to be made in our home and we can't come into agreement, she gives in to me. Because I am the head of my house. Even though we kid a lot, I am the head of my house. Not because I demand it, because the Christ in me allows it. Am I perfected yet? No, I got a long way to go. Trust me. But I love my wife enough that she has a heart's desire. I try to meet that heart's desire above my own desire. That's what it means to be in the image of Christ. Jesus didn't want to go to the cross, but he went because of love. How about the men start going to the cross once in a while? For love. Sacrificing your wants for a change. Instead of living in sin, demanding your rights. That was free. I didn't get that from my notes. I'm telling you, God's speaking to you this morning. You got to hear what he's saying. Amen. Don't be foolish and just ignore this stuff. And wives, start honoring your husband the way you should. He may not be perfect, and he may not be the head that he should be. But by your grace, he said, the word says, through the meek and mild spirit of the woman, the husband will be saved. In other words, through your meek and mild temperament, living your life as Christ lived it will cause your husband to want to turn away from what he's doing to what you're doing. It works. It works. But you have to do it God's way. Amen. Boy, I got in trouble now. Hallelujah. See, my wife isn't in here. She ain't here. She's out there. She can't hear me. Amen. All right. Go with me. Now let's get into the message. Romans. Hallelujah. What time is it? 5 of? Okay. This morning we'll deal with the knowledge, what God says to do with sin. That we don't just ignore it, but we actually have to deal with it. And again, I am not necessarily talking about, although I am talking about that too, the outward natural, okay, I see you're over there robbing a bank, that's sin. Okay, we can tell that, you know. You're doing this, oh, that's sin. We can tell that right away. But the hidden things of the heart, the things that are so deep sometimes in us, we don't want to even acknowledge them. And the only way they're really exposed as if God exposes them. Amen. I promise you this. If you're truly seeking the kingdom of God first in your life, he will show you. And let me put the next thing. He will not only show you, and if you won't deal with it, he'll show somebody else. If you want to know how it works with sin, go into Matthew 18 and you'll read how the church has to deal with sin. And if you won't receive the one that comes to you about being in sin, then he's to bring two or three other ones to you. And if you won't receive that, it's time to kick you out. Because a little leaven leavens a whole lump. You understand that, don't you? A little leaven leavens a whole lump. So if you are saying, well, you know, I know that sin, but it's not such a bad thing, eventually it will be. Amen? Eventually it will be. So we got to deal with it. And that's not, don't be afraid of it. And let me say this, because I know it to be true because it's in me. When God starts dealing with me about sin, I will start looking for a way to keep it, to justify it. When God starts dealing with me in sin, there's something inside of me that says, uh-oh, it's my turn. And that's not fun, because I know I like my sin sometimes. Don't say you don't. The sin in our lives, certain sins, and I'm talking about the outward big things, you know, what we call big. I think sometimes what we call big, God calls small. What we call small, God calls big. Disobedience is a big sin. You understand that? That's what happened to Saul. Because of disobedience, the blessings, the provision, and all the things that God had given to him was taken away from him. Disobedience is a big one. And we see it as a little one. The Bible says that sin is good for a season. You know, everybody likes it. It feels good. Especially when you fall back into your old ways of doing things. The things that God delivered you out of, and for whatever reason, something came up, somebody got this or that or happened, and we just go back acting like we used to act. It's comfortable, isn't it now? Come on now. Isn't it easier to get mad at someone instead of bless them? Right? It's easier to curse them than it is to bless them. Am I right or wrong? Come on now. Of course it's true. Because that's our old nature. How can you turn the other cheek when somebody slams you on the one? You can't do that. No way. You're going to slug them. You're going to get your gun. You're going to knife them. You're going to do whatever you got to do. I'm getting even with that character. You're on my list. I already know I got a list. I got the good and the bad. Amen. Well, you say we don't. But when somebody comes up and dishonors you and makes you feel bad or calls you names or does something, oh, they're going to pay for this one. Right? Well, we don't say that openly. Yeah. See, God is dealing with us. He's coming soon. Jesus is coming back soon. Don't say, I've got another day or I got another week, I got another year. No. You don't have more than this second to make those choices. You make the choices now. Lord, I want to live like you. I want to be like Christ. I want to love like you love. I want to forgive like you forgive. I want to bless like you bless. Amen? Amen. And it's possible. But know this, it will never be a finished work. It's a process. It's a time. And it takes time. God knows how long, and he knows how much you can handle. He'll never give you more than you can handle. First of all, he's going to tell you, look, if you haven't perfected how to love God yet, maybe that's the first thing you'll start with. Then he's going to teach you how to love one another. Remember, we went through all those before. Because, see, until you learn to love something more than yourself, you'll never be like Christ. We'll never make it. We got to understand, there is a big wall and division between the world and the kingdom of God. The only way you can pass through is through the gate that's very narrow and restrictive. Because he made that gate. Jesus is the way. He said, I am the way. I'm the door. No one gets to the Father but through me.
Amen.
You're not going to get there because of your good looks, because of your funny quips and jokes. You're going to get there because you have allowed God to do what he has to do to get you there.
Amen. Amen.
You understand? It's him. It's all about him. And listen to me. The good news here, and we'll get into this afterwards, is the good news is you'll never get there on your own. You'll never get there on your good works and trying everything, and I'm going to have a New Year's resolution, and I'm not going to do that anymore, and I'm going to be this now, and I'm going to try that. It doesn't work without him. You'll get a form of religion, but you don't have the power that causes you to become what God said you need to become. The power's in him. All in him. All you need to do is say, yes, Lord. I recognize it. I need it. Help me. And bam, you're on your way. But when he starts pointing those things out to you, you're going to kick against them. You're going to fight against them. You're going to say, yeah, but what about them? And he said, don't worry about them. I'll take care of them. You worry about yourself.
Amen.
Amen? Don't worry about them. Don't worry about your husband if he isn't doing what God told him to do. You do what you're called to do, and God will make sure he gets his done. Same with the wife. Amen? Same with the wife. But each one of us has enough sin in us to separate us from the very presence of the one who can transform us into the image whom we love. Hallelujah. Where did I say to go?
Romans
8. Did I say there? All right. Romans 8. Verse 13. Okay, let's start in 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. And he's not talking about physical death, although it could lead to that. You put somebody out there doing drugs, they could end up dead. Alcoholics driving down the road could run into another. Yeah, it can. But not necessarily. He's not talking about a physical death. He said, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. What are we talking about? Life. The eternal life. That resurrected life. That abundant life he's talking about. That's what he's talking about here. If you continue in the flesh, you will never experience abundant life that he's talking about. You will never. Now, go with me in Colossians chapter 3. Now, I'm going to read this out of two different translations. So hang in there. Colossians 3, verse 5. Oh, well, let's start back up a little ways. Verse 1, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Who's been raised with Christ? You've been crucified with him, and now you've been raised with him. Amen? You've been crucified with him. Spiritually speaking, he's talking about. Amen? Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Your life is hidden. This life, this abundant life is in Christ in God. That's what it is. Remember this. All good things come from above. All good things from God come from God through the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. All good things come from God the Father through the Son, the Word, by the Spirit of God. When the Word starts taking effect in our life, the power of God takes that Word and produces the abundant life. It's not you. It's not me. It's not us. We're not going to do this on our own. That's religion. Religion is saying, I got to do this for God. Relationship, God says, I did this for you. Not many people know that, because they're still stuck in that same circle of trying to live their life the way God wants them to live it. It's not by might nor by power, he said, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Amen? Listen, let's go on. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is out our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Bless the Lord. Therefore, once you see therefore, you go back up, wherefore. You go backwards and find out what he's talking about, therefore. And we just read it, right? Therefore, because your life is hidden in Christ, because your life is in God, because of that, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Okay? He's dealing with the sins of the flesh. That's what we're talking about here. There is a sin that there's no repentance for. Blaspheming the Holy Spirit. My interpretation of that is attributing to the work of God and calling it the work of Satan. That's what I take it for. Amen? In other words, when Jesus was doing the works, they said he does these works by the power of Beelzebub, which was Satan. Jesus then turned and said, listen, a house divided cannot stand. In other words, he said, if I'm casting out Satan by Satan, that's a divided house and it can't stand. Then he discusses this about blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Now, it's not just that, but all sin other than that can be dealt with by God. Now listen, when you were born again, the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed you of all unrighteousness. He became your sin, and you became his righteousness. All right? He became your sin. He didn't just take it. He became your sin, and you became his righteousness. Amen? He dealt with all your sin. All your sin. It's dealt with. But sin can still affect your life if you don't deal with it. It can still affect your life. It can still bring death and destruction. It'll bring divorce. It'll bring all kinds of garbage. Because it's still active. Because your spirit man has been renewed, it's been cleansed, it's been saved and redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, yes, yes. But you're still dealing with your mind, your soulish realm, and your flesh, which is part of your soulish realm. Because that old nature that you're so familiar with is still operating in your life. The only way you can deal with it is to kill it. Listen to what he said. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Put to death. Listen to what he says. Let me read it King James Version. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. Romans 8:13. But if ye through the Spirit, how do you do it? Through the Spirit. By the Spirit. Amen? By the Spirit. do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Colossians 3:5. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. What is mortification? It means to subdue or to kill. That's where we get our word mortician from. Mortification. It means to kill, to subdue it. You're going to have to bring this thing and bring it to the cross and destroy it. That's if you want to be like Christ. If you don't, then you don't. And I don't know which way to take you from there. I don't know. You're satisfied where you're at, and you like your life the way it is, and you think it's the best it's ever going to be. It's not going to get any better than this. And look, having all the money you want doesn't mean you have everything God wants for you. When the nation of Israel came out of the promised land, it said that God had moved on the heart of the Egyptians. God did this on the hearts of the Egyptians, and the Israelites saw favor with the Egyptians. So God changed the heart of the Egyptian, where the Israelite was a slave serving the Egyptians. Now the Egyptians saw favor. In other words, they looked upon the Israelites and wanted to bless them. Having the favor of God means that you have the blessing of God operating in your life. And so they blessed them by giving them all their gold and silver. The Israelites did what God told them to do. He told them, go to the houses. They're going to give you something. So they didn't just give them a piece of bread. They gave them all the wealth in that house. When they got to the promised land, they still had the gold and silver. They were still rich. But God wanted to give them more. God wanted to give them more. There was more. If they had entered into that promised land and they had committed their life to God, allowing Him to deal with them, when they got Him messed up, He gave them a sacrifice. Yes, we can do that. And listen to me. If you sin, you know what 1 John says. Confess your sin. He's faithful and just to forgive you. Don't wait. The moment you know you messed up, go to God. Say, Father, I blew it. Forgive me. And He immediately forgives you. But you don't want to have to do that over and over and over and over and over and over the rest of your life. God wants you to get out of you. Why? Because He's got some other things He wants to deal with you with. Amen? That's truth. We're being perfected. The flesh is coming into a place of perfection. Why? Because Jesus is coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. Why do you think He's bringing these words to us? You don't want to be left behind. Will I never be left? People have a hard time with that. Well, maybe God will take all of us. God loves all of us, but not all of us are going. He loves every one of those people out there. But they're not all going. Yeah, but I'm His child. Well, then His child looks just like Jesus. Right? Am I right? You look like Jesus. When God looks at you, what does He see? He sees the Christ in you. If He looked and saw what we looked like on the inside without Christ, He's not going to claim you as a child. Oh, that's not my kid. He looks just like somebody else. I know what my family looks like. They all look like my firstborn. How are we doing so far? Are we having fun? Hallelujah. So mortification of sin or the flesh is the putting to death or subduing of the sinful nature that still resides in every believer. all of us. Don't look at someone else and say, well, I'm farther than them, but not quite as far as that one. No, don't do that. Because we have no clue. There's a ton of good people out there. You know, good to, according to the world standards. And they do nice things and good things for people. We got a whole fire department over here filled with people who lay down their life for others. Doesn't mean they're saved. Doesn't mean they're going to heaven. Doesn't mean it. Just because they do good things doesn't mean they look and act and think like Christ. Just doesn't work that way. It's God's way of doing things. We want to do it God's way. Amen? Hallelujah. The person who lives his life according to the flesh will die. And that is separated from God. Death in the scriptures, if you see die, sometimes it does mean physical death. When Ananias and Sapphira came up and lied to the Holy Spirit, they died physically. You might want to take advice. Try not to lie to the Holy Spirit. Notice when they lied to Peter. Peter said it. You lied to the Holy Spirit. Right? Think of that. We always look at that and we don't consider the fact he lied to Peter. But Peter said, you didn't lie to me. He didn't take it personal. Peter did not take it personal that he lied to. Because Peter knew the commandment came from God. And they lied to God, even though Peter was the one that had the Spirit of God in him. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we got to a place of transformation when we can be like Paul, who said, I was crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. So when you look on me, you might see the outward man. But inwardly, I'm totally different. Who I am is not my flesh. This is not who I am. Praise God. Amen? Who I am. If I could step out of this and stand right next to it, I may look like it a little bit, but you will see there is not one imperfection in there. Because that was cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Because of that, I now live my life by faith that God is going to finish the work outwardly that he's already started inwardly. And it's God doing these things. It's Christ working in us, the will to, well, it's actually, it says God working in us, to will to do those things that please him. This is not about so I can get more stuff of this world. If you love him, you want to be just like him. That's what you want. You want to be like him. If you love him, my wife and I want unity in my family between my wife and I. I want unity. I don't want any division. I want us to act and think alike and talk alike. I want us to be in agreement. Will we always be? No, because we got flesh too, and we still act sometimes. Well, some of us don't. I don't. But we do act like that. We get into the flesh once in a while, into silliness. The old nature comes out and wants and demands its own way, and I want to be right and you're wrong and all that, da, 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 da. And it doesn't mean a hill of beans, because there's only one right and his name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and no matter how much I demand of my own way, his will be done. So it's easier to say, yes, Lord, your will, not my will, so that I don't get into the arguments. I don't get into the fights. I don't want it. I want to, if I'm going to be persecuted, am I going to get into, are you, I want to be over righteous things, not things that I demand. Because my demands are all unrighteous. Woo! How are we doing? All right. Now, if you really want to get a picture of what it means to live in the flesh, go into Romans 1, verse 18 through, what is it? To chapter 3, verse 20. And you'll find in there, Paul was writing about the unrighteous life and what it really is like. And don't be surprised if you find some kind of things that look just like you in some areas. Because I find, when I read it, I found a lot like me. Amen? And it's good. It's good. I want to look in the mirror and be honest with what I see. Amen. I want to be honest with what I see, because until there's honesty, there can't be any truthfulness. Amen. We have to be honest with ourselves. Romans 1, 18 through chapter 3, verse 20, somewhere in that vicinity. Hallelujah. The person who lives his life according to the flesh will die. This is not speaking of physical death, because that is the fate of all people as a result of sin. Paul is speaking of an eternal death in hell. The believer, on the other hand, by the Spirit, puts to death the deeds of this body. In other words, through the working of God's Holy Spirit, who only dwells in believers, the believer engages in the process of sanctification, or growing into holiness. It is important to note that the believer is not completely free from sin. Putting to death the deeds of the body is a continual process that the believer must engage in on a daily basis. The point is that one of the marks of a true believer is that he is daily putting to death the deeds of the body. This person, the one who puts to death or mortifies the deeds of the body and its sinful nature, will live. Again, this is reference to eternal life or heaven or the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Go with me into 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Please. Now again. Do you remember the parable of the two people going to the temple and bringing their tithes and offerings? Remember that? And the one went in and said, you know, I'm glad I'm not like those. Mm-hmm. You know, I give them my tithes and offerings. You know, I'm not this and I'm not that and I'm not this and I'm not doing that. I thank God I'm not like that. And it said the other one came in and gave his, and he wouldn't even look up. He wouldn't even look up to God. He came in with all humility and he bowed his head and he said, Father, I have sinned. Like Paul said, oh wretched man that I am. There's nothing wrong with humility coming before God and acknowledging the truth. He already knows it, so you're not telling him something he doesn't know. But it's for your sake. You don't have to do it in front of a whole bunch of people. Get alone with God for a moment. Say, Lord, I can't even look up except by the grace of God. I can't ever even acknowledge you but by the grace of God. When we recognize there is no good thing in anybody except Christ and Him crucified. There isn't. But in that fact, in that knowledge, the knowledge that He died on the cross and that blood that He shed cleansed you and washed you, brings you to a place where you have the right to come before a God who created everything out here, including yourself, and you can go there and you can expect to receive from Him the power to resist the power of Satan that works through the flesh. Such power you have. Such power. Listen to this. Do you not know, 1 Corinthians 6, chapter or verse 9 through 11, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Who's he talking to? The church. He's not talking to the world out there. Most of them know they're unrighteous. Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And listen to what he says, and such were some of you. Such were all of us in one way or form or the other. We were all dead in our sin. The Bible says we were enmity with God. We were enemies with him. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. But this is who we are. This is who we are. We are the redeemed of the Lord. You have the ability. You have the ability to be just like Christ. You have the ability. You have the power. Amen? Now listen. If you're in the race, run it to win. If you're going to do a marathon in some, I don't know why, but if you want to, I remember when William was young in school, he went out for track and he went long, you know, cross country. I don't know if he remembers this, but I told him, if you're going to run it to win. Don't run it just to run for the sake of running. Nah. Whatever you do, do it to win. If you're going to get a job, become the best. Become the owner. Become the CEO. Become whatever you can be in Christ. You don't satisfy yourself with getting by. You're going to be the best at whatever you're going to do. If you're going to be a Christian, be the best Christian you can possibly be by the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't you satisfy yourself with just getting by. Don't satisfy yourself with just coming to church on a Sunday morning and just saying, well, I did my duty. No. That's the beginning of the race. Getting saved is the beginning of the race. Now you got to run it. Like Paul said, I ran it to win. Run it to win. Not everybody will. Doesn't mean they're not saved. Doesn't mean they're not going to heaven. But I'm telling you now, if you're going to get into this thing, don't get in it half-heartedly. You get in it fully. Amen? You're fully in it. Otherwise, pretty soon, you're just going to be, this doesn't work, and I'm going to quit. A lot of people are on the sidelines. A lot of people are on the sidelines. Always wondering, how come God blesses them but not me? Because you got out of the race. You stop running. You can't win the prize if you don't run. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Praise God. Next week, we'll get into how to deal with these sins and get them out of it. Okay. I'm going to share something with you, just for fun. Give me 5 minutes. Shouldn't take that long, maybe. Because I love the way God works. Amen? God, I mean,